What's up, everybody? Hope you haven't forgotten about us yet. Welcome to part two of Off the Rails. You guys are in for a treat with this one. We finished our discussion on language and political views, and if we start dozing off near the end, I think it was because it was super late when we finished recording this one. It was like 1 a.m. Big shout out to our Japanese listeners. We know you're out there. Thank you so much for all your support. We love Japan. We love Tokyo. We love everything. We love Pokemon. I don't know what else I can say that can offend you. But have fun with this one, guys. And, you know, spread the word. Let people know. Jaunt Pod Nation. Jaunt Nation. Whatever you want to call it. Follow us on Twitter. We're out there. We're not going away. So, without further ado, here's the pod. Peace.
So what's worse, being, Taylor, to you, to be completely bought into a certain way of thinking or to be completely indifferent to all of it?
Well, I think it goes back to...
Or is that the same event? Is that the same outcome?
I think it's okay if you ascribe to a ideology and a political ideology, but I think it's what Tyler was talking about at the beginning about seeing the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you get up really close to the picture of the naked woman,
I really hate that you guys have done this to my beautiful.
Hey, it's your picture, dude.
My
it's
beautiful
not mine.
Analogy.
Not my but picture.
It was a Derek Jeter. It was a Derek
naked
Jeter poster.
Derek Jeter.
It was a fist pump.
But if you
walking
get
in the sunset,
if you get too close, if you focus on one side, because there's good points on both
right.
sides. If you get too close and obsessed with one, you're not even going to acknowledge that the other one even exists or even valid. I mean, that's how people in political arguments are like, why doesn't this person agree with me? Why are they so stupid? And when you get people that think like-mindedly in a room together, they'll say that, oh, man, they're right. They're so stupid. Why?
Right.
Why, or the left. Why are they so dumb? Blah, blah, blah.
How could they say this? How could they do that? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's okay to have political ideas, but if you're not willing to let your defenses down and talk like a rational human being, I think that's a problem.
Did you either of you see Captain Fantastic? It's a movie that came out last year.
Uh-uh.
Okay. Fantastic movie. It's got Viggo Mortensen in it and his, I believe, 6 kids. And he's taking them out of society, and they live out in, I believe, Washington or Oregon in the mountains. And they have their own camp. And they train every day physically. He has them in an extremely regimented study plan where they're reading like calculus books and high level philosophy. Very, very educated group. Have you heard about this movie? Okay. So he's got this whole world he's created for them, right? Where they're completely sustainable, like have a sustainable living environment. They can take care of themselves in the woods. They're knowledgeable about all topics, both political and social and anything you could think of, right? And he integrates them into some normal parts of society. It's part of the plot. I won't go into it. And the whole family is having a big celebration for Noam Chomsky Day, right? That's what they're celebrating. One of the kids, one of the boys, younger boy, he's probably about 10, he's pissed. And he's like, why are we all so freaking weird? Why are we celebrating Noam Chomsky Day? Why can't we just celebrate Christmas like everyone else? And the whole family stops and looks at him like he's the biggest idiot in the whole world. One of the younger kids is like, why would you believe in some fake magic leprechaun that goes to people's houses? That makes no sense. Are you an idiot? And the dad stops and he goes, okay, son, go ahead. We're all listening. We're here. We're here. Give us your argument and we will debate its merit. Go ahead. And he was sincere. The dad was sincere when he said it. But the kid looks around and he goes, ah, screw this, and he walks away. And I think that's all of us at some point in our life where we think differently than the group around us. And we're presented with an opportunity where we can either try and explain why we think a certain way, but we already know that what it's actually going to be.
And it's exhausting.
And because it's like, is there a set of magic words you could tell somebody that would make them change their mind in that kind of a situation?
How often do we see people's mind change where they're like, all right, I believe you
Which
now.
Comes back to communication. Is it possible to bring people to that, or does it completely depend on the person's disposition going into that debate? Or that
I don't
moment?
Think I've ever argued with someone and convinced them I was right by the end of it, like in a political setting.
I don't think I have.
I don't know that I have, but I think, like with that example, I think, like, it's, you know, I don't want to read into it, and I haven't seen the movie, but that kid, it seems to do something that I do, where I just look around and I try to do a quick assessment of the situation and, like, a quick calculation on, like, what is, like, you know, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
What is actually happening here? Are these, am I looking at a group of people that are genuinely interested in my beliefs and how I got to my beliefs and who I am? Or am I looking at a group of people that are just like looking at me like I'm a piece of meat and, you know, they're
wanting to make fun of me.
They want to eat.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And so if I see that I'm just standing there getting ready to, you know, be thrown to the wolves, then I just say, you know, I'm not doing this.
Which is smart.
There's no point.
I think that's smart.
But if I'm looking at a group of people that are looking at me and saying, like, you know, explain it. Explain to me how you
got
there. I want
to know why you think this.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I want to know what you think. Then I'm, you know, I'll...
You're open to that sort of...
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
I think there's another point too, right? Is that sometimes... it's hard for us to be honest with ourselves, and maybe deep down we know that what we believe is probably wrong,
mm-hmm.
but we just don't want to accept it. So, like, trying to explain it to somebody who doesn't think the way you do is very difficult, because deep down you know you're probably wrong, and you're just kind of in denial about that. I think that happens too.
Yeah. And sometimes, a lot of times, we don't have good reasons. And that's kind of the thing that I came to the point where I thought, like, some of the things that I'd been holding on to, I was like, I don't have a great reason or really fact-based to kind of back that thought up anymore.
Yeah, it's...
And you go, ugh, that hurts. When you get there.
There's... It's a very scary and, like, vulnerable moment when you get pressed and you look at what you believe and you go, oh, man, like, I don't believe this. I inherited this.
Yeah, I've just been holding this.
This is just something that I was
here.
This came stock. Like, I've never had to, like, to explain this to anyone before,
right.
And I've never questioned it.
Yeah.
But and again, like, I think this just goes to intent. Like, if you're in a group of people that ask you to define what you believe, and that group of people is a sincere group of people, and you go, like, wow, you know, like, I've never really thought about it, then it's fine. But if you're amongst a group of people that are intent to tear you down, you know, then things get ugly, because you realize, you're like, oh, these people are not, like, they want to fight.
Yeah.
They want to, you know, this isn't about, like, a discussion. This isn't about discourse. This is about the game. And then all of a sudden, like, you have to start defending something that you don't really believe. And then things get ugly. And that's when you get to, like, you start calling people fat asses and stuff like that.
So are these learned behaviors, the way that this whole predicament we have with communication and being unable to really convey differences and new ideas to people? Is this stuff that we learned as kids, or is this just embedded in humans?
I would say it's just embedded. I just think that this is just...
I think we're programmed to win.
Just pride?
We don't like to lose. I think that's a big part of it. And the weird thing about this that I've experienced is a lot of these fights and arguments aren't face-to-face. They're in forums or posts online on Facebook. A lot of it's happening on our keyboards rather than face-to-face interaction.
So do you think people were as violently against each other on the other side of the aisle 20 years from today, or even 30?
I don't think so. I mean,
20 years, like in the future,
sorry,
will they be?
I said that ago. Wrong. 20 years ago.
If you watch like TV and shit in the 60s and 70s, it's pretty much like a given that you don't talk politics. Like,
well, I mean, let's just, there was a point in time where half the country was like, threw up middle fingers and were like, all right, we're done. Because of political differences.
Absolutely, and that's history, right? We have,
they bounce.
People
like,
literally killed people because they're like, F this.
Yes.
We're not doing this shit
anymore. And it was
anymore.
A very distinct, like,
right.
Republican, Democrat, like, you know, North-South.
Sure.
Thing. So I don't think that this is, I don't think it's a new invention. I wouldn't say that.
And?
I think it's, I think that we're just at a really crazy time because we are at an age, and I mean like an age, like, you know, our generation,
yeah,
where we are riding the top of this wave as it's starting to crest and crash down, of like really quick information gathering, really quick, almost simultaneous communication. So I can get my confirmation biased information and I can send it right to you immediately from the computer that I carry around in my pocket. You know, like,
right.
So it, I just think it seems crazier because like we are at that moment where like technology is like, we haven't caught up with our technology yet.
Yeah. So let's take a step away from kind of the political sphere of it. The way we communicate today via phones and technology is drastically different than it was 15 years ago, right? Yeah. I think about the way kids date today or the way that kids can. Like, let's say you get, like, a kid in 8th or 9th grade, right? There could literally be 10 or 12 platforms that they could contact anyone,
and they all mean different things.
Exactly. Because you can send a snap, you could send a video in a Snapchat, you could send a Bitmoji with text, you could send a tweet at somebody, you could message somebody on Instagram. The list goes on and on and on.
Public messages, direct messages,
ones that you know people will see versus ones that is a DM.
Yep.
There is a web of intricacies here of how people can now communicate. And like you said, they each have their own meaning. Is this going to get too complex to the point that it's going to break down and we're going to have just a few things? Or is it going to keep at this pace where it's going to keep building and building with these new technology platforms that come out?
I found this awesome poll on Gallup. Talked about the new era of communications among Americans. So just some highlights. Texting is the dominant way of communicating for Americans under 50. Americans still use the phone, but mostly cell phones, not landlines. And relatively few Americans use Twitter, even those 18 to 29. So then it breaks it down by demographic. Let me scroll down a bit here. So like 18 to 29... 70% of people 18 to 29 use texting, like, predominantly. Like, more so than face-to-face, phone calls, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, landlines, and things like that. But then when you get up to 65, 8% of the 65 and older population uses texting. 18% use a cell phone. 16% read email, 6% are on Facebook, 0% use Twitter.
Wow.
8% use a business phone, and 17%, their second highest, use a home landline phone.
Oh my gosh, landlines, dude.
But even then, we see their engagement and communication is significantly less than us at a younger age, at 18 to 29. So I think it's interesting how, I don't know, what do you guys think? Do you think that the fact that we're having less face-to-face communication is hurting our communication skills? Or do you think it's improving? our relationships with people.
I think it, I don't know if it's hurting or helping. I just think that it, that we're evolving into something different.
That's my, that's what I was going to say. We're just changing.
Yeah. I think it's just becoming something new.
Yeah, because there's an argument about it. That's why I was curious.
And the reason why it's there is an argument about it, I think, is because we are at that turning point right now. Like, we're watching it happen.
Right. We're kind of on the fringe as far as our age group is.
Yeah. I have very clear memories of the time before people had internet.
Remember the landline calling a friend?
I have very clear memories of dial-up internet, where if like your phone line would be busy,
yeah,
because you were on the internet,
make that awful
sound.
And
you know, like my dad had come home from work and he'd say like, I'm expecting a call, you got to hop off the internet. And yeah, I remember having to memorize my friend's phone numbers and hop on the landline and punch it in. So like I've seen it.
Even that thought's crazy.
Did you do instant messaging?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah.
Could we call a friend today if our phone lost all our contacts?
Absolutely not.
I could call my wife, and only because she demanded that I learn her number. It's also the phone number that we have on like a couple of our like customer loyalty accounts. So I can rattle it off if I'm at the grocery store or something.
I know my mom's because it's been the same since as long as I can remember. Literally, like I think 15 years, probably 15 years, and my wife's. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And I think that's kind of sad.
I don't know my mom's.
Gen Xers talk about having 8 numbers that they'd have memorized. That they'd like, yeah, there's like the go-to 8.
Yeah.
They'd have.
And at the time, it makes sense, like when I was 14 or 15 years old before, you know.
Oh yeah, you'd have way more numbers memorized.
Yeah, I could call up, like there were a bunch of friends that I could call up.
And you really had to memorize, in a lot of cases for people that stayed local, you only had to know really 4 numbers, because you get those first 6 down pat, you know, because it's the area code and like the.
I also remember a time when you didn't have to punch in the area code.
Oh, you didn't have to do that. Oh, you're right. Maybe you didn't.
No. Yeah, it was just the phone numbers.
Just be lost in all the younger kids. Yeah, just, they're just like, what?
The 7 digits that you had to memorize, you know?
I don't know. I think there's a valid argument for people being able to converse face-to-face being a lost skill. Because there's certain people I know, and I see them, and I'm like, hey. And they don't even look at me. And they walk past me quickly, and I'm like, wow, they must hate me. But then whenever they interact with me in a social media or technological platform where they're not seeing me, they send the nicest and most gracious, thoughtful thoughts that I could ever come up with. Like, it's just amazing the difference, right?
Well, it's crazy, too. Like, you're like, this person's delightful via messaging.
They're nice.
Meet them in person.
And they have, like, these deep, full thoughts.
Where's like, your personality?
Right. It comes through in these platforms.
So – here's my question, and I don't know if this is going to work exactly, but, like, do you view a loss of being able to write in cursive? Like, nobody writes in cursive anymore, right?
What are those cursive?
Do you know how to write?
In cursive?
In cursive?
I could. Ooh, it'd be
I don't
long.
Even, like, I couldn't even do my name properly. Like, I could do.
Yeah,
I could
signature, right?
A
signature's
really.
In cursive.
Yeah, well, my signature's in cursive, but it is a bastardized cursive.
So mine's a bullshit.
I'm making
cursive.
Up letters for sure.
That Z, dude, am I?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa. Bleep that out,
uh-oh.
Dude.
Uh-oh.
It's got way too real.
We know there's a Z.
What time is it?
We're going to leave that in there.
Oh, no.
If you can find that, good for you.
I think people should
sink the ship.
Eventually be able to piece it together so they can figure out who you are.
That's a bad thing for me.
Your social security number.
Get it
just
kind
of Easter eggs throughout That's the right. duration of this podcast.
A Z doesn't give away a lot.
It doesn't.
Well, it's,
where's the Z? I don't know.
There's not a lot of
Z's
names that have a
it's
Z
got
in
a Z
it.
In there somewhere. Yeah. So yeah, I can't write in cursive.
So yeah,
no.
You
think that like propagates what?
Is that a loss of an ability to communicate, or is it just a change?
I think learning to write cursive was bullshit. It's not functional. I don't think it's practical. It looks like garbage,
Why
my
they
opinion.
Teach a shorthand? That's more functional than cursive.
Yeah, I don't.
But like, but if you were to ask maybe your grandparents, they would disagree. Like,
sure.
Like, script is important, you know?
Yeah.
So
I don't know if my grandparents graduated high school. So
eventually,
I don't know about that.
Eventually, there may be a time where it's like, we're over here and we're saying like, oh, you guys don't know how to stand in front of someone and talk. And they're like, yeah, well, no shit. Like, I don't have to do that.
Why?
Why would I do that when I don't do that ever in my life? There's no reason
for
it.
So you're suggesting, Tyler, that human face-to-face interaction is going to become in some ways obsolete?
There's too many people. There's too many people.
All right, doomsday prepper.
That's not. He's not describing
doomsday.
This
isn't doomsday. This is just like we're expanding at a rate where like we have to make generalizations about each other because we can't get to know each other on a one-on-one individual basis and make individual, you know, decisions and that kind of thing. So our communication has to be more vague, and you know, maybe this is just the evolution of communication, is that face-to-face talking is going to be kind of like a little bit antiquated.
But
we're going to be having sex with robots. We're never going to leave our houses.
but face-to-face communication is more effective than any other form of communication.
But his point is
right
that it's becoming not as effective.
You're
you're blowing Taylor's mind.
Well, I'm saying that like
things are cracking in
I'm
his head.
I'm saying that so like a virtual like a video call It's pretty damn close to face-to-face.
All right.
So
that's
cool.
This is what I'm saying. I'm saying that this could be, just as a possibility, this could be like hopping back into the 1800s and trying to explain someone like a car versus a horse. And they're like, no, you hop on your horse, you go from here to there, you get the things you need, and you're done. Like, this is the effective way to move. And it's like, no, you don't understand what is coming. You don't understand the technological advances that are going to change the world.
Okay, well, I can't dispute that because I'm not in the
imagine
future,
the so. Wagon without the horses and the wheels move themselves because it burns this liquid that I
at
put
a crazy
into this,
rate
into this container that's filled with metal, and it's going to have cool air. It's going to have hot air. Yeah, you can blow somebody's mind.
All right, so I guess so. I guess if
so, human interaction in the form that you prefer. This is my thought with this, is that the type of interaction that you prefer is going to become accessible as much as you want. So if you're interested in having face-to-face contact with people, there will be mediums for you to have that happen. But for those people that are like, I don't really like seeing people and I don't really like talking face-to-face, I think there'll be more ways for those people to be integrated into society.
Right.
But
then what happens to the people who are face-to-face communicators?
I think that they'll find ways to stay.
Okay, but is that going to continue?
Are you talking like percentage-wise, or what are we saying? Like,
yeah, like, well, like, okay, so.
So do you, I guess for you.
Just look at the difference between your age and someone 10 years older than you.
Right.
Which is not a crazy gap. I'm 10 years older than my younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so. Someone 10 years older than you probably prefers picking up a phone and calling someone on the phone
versus
to
texting somebody. Yeah. For
right.
Sure. Yeah.
When I call my wife on the phone, she's confused. She's like, why?
Something's wrong if you're calling. Right?
Why am I hearing your voice? Just shoot me a text. Like she's not pleased with it. And sometimes like, I'm like, I need an answer now and I don't want to wait and I don't want there to be like
the
back
yeah.
and forth thing. I need to know a thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So I call her up and it's like, you know,
it's kind of foreign to you.
It's weird.
How you normally communicate.
I have had that happen for them. Like, can I call you? And they're like, why?
Oh, definitely. Like, aren't you guys kind of, it's a little abrasive to have someone to call you.
It's weird.
I think it's a little like, depending on the situation.
And like my age, I'm like right at that point where it could go either way for me. And I was late to the cell phone game.
Okay.
So I am kind of like, I prefer calling people usually.
To a text?
Yeah, to a text.
I'll start calling you pre-podcast now.
Please.
And we'll chat
please.
Before.
Yeah,
you tell
please.
Her.
but like, I just think that the people that are the face-to-face, the talking to each other communicators, I think they're dying out.
Okay. So I could see that. And that makes sense because of the way people are doing it now and the way technology is becoming so integrated into how we live our lives. Is there something innately human where we will always require some type of physical human face-to-face interaction?
Yeah, so I...
That's my question to you.
I was looking at
Or to the group, I guess, Taylor.
Oh,
here.
Sorry. No, well, you're good. I just had a comment on that.
No, so, yeah.
I was looking at a different study. It talked about... They did a study of somebody, like, experiencing some sort of, like, pain or stress. And they compared it to, like a friend on social media sending them a message, like, I'm here for you or whatever. Like, to kind of, like, console them. And then they compared it to somebody who, like, gave somebody a hug, right? So, like... The study showed that there was a relationship that the hug was 6 times, like, more effective, like, as far as, like, consoling them or, like, making them feel better than the message from the person, right?
Right.
And I think that because of that, that there might be, like, if there's a telepathic way to communicate with someone where you get inside somebody's mind, like, and you guys, like, talk and you, like, experience what they experience, that's pretty intimate. Like, that's some deep shit.
We can just
right
throw
there.
Out the first 80% right. of this podcast if we can do that.
But until that happens, I think that physical contact is still more powerful than...
So I'd be devil's advocate here and say, well, the people being tested are likely people that would be predisposed to that type of communication. Maybe not the type that would be like the younger generation that is living in these social media platforms.
And I'm not saying that it's not going to be better for us to move away from it. I just think that we will. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, I'm not questioning that.
It's like... Like with the acquisition of food, you know, is it more beneficial emotionally and physically to grow your own food or hunt your own food, know where it comes from, put in the work and reap what you sow? Or is it more beneficial to hop down and just kind of mindlessly grab food off the shelf and put it into your face? Like what's more beneficial? It's probably more beneficial to know where your food came from, to put in the work, and to reap what you sow. But we don't live in that world anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe the most, like, the trump card for what humans are is the path of least resistance.
Yes. We are lazy.
We are lazy. We're people that want...
Instant gratification.
The most that we can get for the least that we have to, like, the most input for the least output. And so...
Least input for the most output. Yeah. We're good.
Okay.
Least output for the most input.
You want the most that you can get?
Most input for the least output. I want to work so hard on that farm, and I want 2 pieces of corn by the time I'm done.
No, I mean, like...
I see what you're saying.
We got it.
I feel like I was right.
You think that people want to checks.
People want to get the most that they can for the least.
Yes.
What we said is the same thing you said.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, communication.
I'm glad
dude.
We did that. So, like, if it becomes easier for us to become stagnant and not have to go out and interact with people and deal with emotions, and we can just go, you know, ones and zeros and get information and just get it taken care of. Like, I think we're just going to do that. And I'm not going to say that that's the healthier way to go, but I don't think that humans have a history of going with what is best for humans.
So you're looking at this from like a utility standpoint.
Yeah.
People are moving towards what is going to be easiest for them.
Yes.
Right? So this communication is easier than the previous form, right?
Yeah.
It's easier to send a text than it is to walk over to somebody's house and talk to them face to face.
Yes.
And go, okay, this
because is there's the physical work, there's also the emotional work. So let's go back to your thing. Someone's having a really rough day. They post about it on Facebook. You have the person that goes over, physically gives them a hug. We have these things in our brains called mirror neurons that help us, that have us experience what someone else, it basically creates empathy.
Whoa.
Right? I look at you, I see what you're going through, and I experience it through these mirror neurons in my brain to a much lesser extent. Right? So I empathize with you.
So you get a residual like feel.
It's the reason why if you get a group of guys together and we're watching a video of another guy getting kicked in the balls, every guy in the room grabs themselves and they, you know, they freak out because like you get scared.
Right.
So is it easier for me to just hop on Facebook and go like, oh, you know, thinking about you and then go back to not thinking about them? Or is it easier for me to go over there and to have a person in distress on my shoulder and I'm trying to console them in real time? Like, that's not easy. It's emotionally draining. It's physically draining. It would be so much easier to just be on the other end of a computer screen and go.
That's why it makes them feel better.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying it's beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying that in my view of human history, mm-hmm. like, we don't really care what is going to be the most beneficial in the long run.
Sure.
We just want what is the quickest fix to this problem right now.
So I am totally agreeing with everything you're saying, like your line of logic there. Definitely. So move over the perspective a little bit. My question is that are people always going to need human face-to-face contact interaction? Or are we going to be able to supplement it, those feelings, with technology, whether it's experiencing it through like a surrogate system where you're able to like live life through a robot or interact with robots that are like people? You see, like,
I think it goes back to like the food analogy for me, where
it goes back to what's easiest,
where in an ideal world, the most beneficial thing is to have human interaction, face to face, physical interaction with a person, that we won't be able to synthetically create anything that will be just as good as that.
Okay.
My fear is if we go down that road, I mean, if you want to get really utilitarian, the only human interaction we need for the survival of the human race is reproduction, right? So, like, why would you need to marry somebody? You wouldn't. You would say, the only interaction I need is to reproduce, and then I go back to my pod, and I am...
Not your podcast.
Not my pod. Like, a literal house pod, whatever, my living space. And I think I read somewhere that humans have a need for interaction with each other. Like, it's one of their needs. And the fear I have with these new technologies is it creates a degree of separation. Like, it puts up a barrier between you and the other person, right? And I think it's really important to feel vulnerable at times, because I think that's when we're more honest with each other. I mean, if you looked at everyone's Facebook profile, you would think that everyone is having like the best time of their lives all the time. Then you're like, why are people committing suicide around me? You know what I'm saying? Like,
my Facebook before I deleted it was pretty self-deprecating.
Yeah, I would say some people's are like the other direction, where it's completely ironic.
But it was comedic, though. Like, it was.
Yeah, I tried not to take it too seriously.
Right, but you see what
Good
I'm saying?
Man.
Like, people misrepresent themselves because they can control what is seen. When you're interacting with someone face to face, you can't hide behind. You can't click mute. You can't turn the camera off and fix something, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think we need that vulnerability.
I don't know.
So I hope Tyler's wrong.
The older I get, the more
I think he's right.
The more I think, like, we all slowly become that group of people that just kind of despises the younger generation. In some way, the younger generation is doing everything wrong. In, you know, 20 years from now, we're going to look and like, our kids, they don't get together and look each other in the eye and have weird ass podcasts at 12 at night or whatever. And it bugs us because we're like, you're losing a part of culture that's so dear to me and to these people, right? calling somebody on the phone for our grandparents is like a great event, you know? Because at one point, calling on the phone was like a new thing for them. And so they hold on to these ways.
But even then, like, for them, you, like, if I were to call you on the phone every day, you would be like, all right, like, we're good. Like, you know, we don't need this much contact.
Oh, but I do.
Oh, you don't.
I need you checking now, in more, dude. I'm calling for you.
If I were to call, like, you know, a grandparent every single day, but never visit, but I called them every single day, and mm-hmm. I lived in a proximity where I could visit, like, they would still be like, well, you know, you never visit. Like, you never visit. I call you every, like, we have contact every single day.
My grandma would
day.
Love that if I lived near her. She does not want to see us.
She doesn't want to see you?
But she wants to be there. But she definitely doesn't want to be there.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Didn't mean to cut your analogy off.
No, they're dead now. Well, I think, yeah, I just think that, like.
Because I want to say, you assholes, like, of course we're always going to need to sit at a table, look at each other, talk. We're going to need to touch real people. This is what we need. But people down the line, they're going to be going, nah, we don't. I really don't need that. I don't get anything out of that I don't get out of my computer screen or whatever device that they're interacting through. I think that personally is sad. But who am I to judge? Honestly, because people are going to change.
And let's be honest, we've only had smartphones for 10 years. iPhone came out 10 years ago.
Yeah, and it's only
We haven't even seen the effects of... I think it's going to take a while before we see the effects that having smartphones with us constantly has on people.
Right. And is like VR technology and augmented reality technology and all these things come more and more into play... It's going to change us so much. I don't obviously don't know where it's going to go exactly, but I personally always am going to feel looking someone eye to eye is the best way to get a message across. So that's my stamp on the communication podcast.
I 100% agree with you.
I think you're completely right.
Just think that we're going to go into a factory farming form of communication where it's just we're not getting the emotional nutrients that we need, but like we're coming along, and I think it's going to come with a whole lot of social diseases. Like there's going to be social cancers and carcinogens running through our system and running through our society because we're not having open and honest communication. And I like the reason why I see it going that way is because I think it's going that way right now. I just think that we're doing it in a more face-to-face way. But communication and discourse is, it feels to me like it's like the death rattle is starting on people having open and honest communication. Mm-hmm. It cannot happen. I'm saying this right now that it cannot happen on a mass scale. And I don't know what the tipping point is. I don't know what the number is, but like, you know, we've got us three in a room, but we're three people that are willing to talk about stuff, and that's mm-hmm. lucky and it's good. And, but you know, if you have three people in a room and one asshole, all of a sudden, like it's dead.
It's
it doesn't take much. And we're already experiencing that. And I think a lot of that is because we live in a society where we can communicate without any real repercussion.
Did you guys see the Black Mirror about social capital?
I saw them all.
Nice.
I love that show.
The one with
my gosh, it terrifies me. It terrifies me.
Every episode, my heart just drops. Oh my gosh.
I feel like that episode. So
that's the
Bryce Dallas Howard one.
Yeah.
So for those of you who haven't seen it, basically it's a world pretty much like ours. It's futuristic, but it's not crazy. I'd say it's probably, 10, 15 years from now, maybe? It's very similar to our world today. But the difference is that everybody has a rating based on their social media presence.
Which is kind of like, it's like an Uber thing, right?
Essentially,
Uber has that, right?
Because Uber, you can rate the driver, but also passengers get rated.
They rate the users as well.
Yeah.
Or drivers rate the passenger,
But you can't see. You don't know what your rating is.
Huh.
As a writer. So,
yeah. So,
So basically, your position in society is based on your social capital. So basically, anyone under a 4 is kind of like the scum of society. Like, they get treated worse. It's like a lower credit
rating. I think it was about under, like, a 3.5, right? Like, 3?
3.5 is bottom, but, like, for example, she, like, goes to buy, like, a house. And they're like, your rating needs to be above this for this neighborhood or else we're not going to sell to you.
Right.
Like, and eventually...
It's a credit score, but it's like a social credit
score. It's a social credit score, really. So, like, the quality and caliber of your friends is important. You have to network and get in with, like, 4.8s and 4.9s, and you want them to 5-star rate you to get your rating up. And
people can rate you in any interaction you have with them.
But the sad thing is all the interactions are super fake and just superficial.
Like social media today.
So, like... She'll be, like, eating something. She takes a picture of her smiling, eating this, whatever. It was some weird thing. But, like...
I think it was a cookie.
And then somebody was real with her.
This weird thing.
It's weird to...
I think one of her coworkers was, like, real, like, actually, like, talked to her or something. And she got put off by it. So she gave him a bad rating on his social capital.
Well, no, I... Not that this doesn't matter. You know what? Go ahead, Adam. It's fine.
What? What were we going
to
say?
I think what happened was that she talked to someone that other people viewed.
Didn't like.
Right. Oh, there we
go.
Fill in my memory.
Right. And
the
then,
actual episode. Because, yeah.
And so she tossed him like a bad score because, or her, I don't remember.
So what happened was this guy was pandering.
Yeah, it was a guy.
That's he was trying to give them a smoothie to get bumps, right?
Yeah.
And she took the smoothie, she drank it, and he's like, you know, give me some points here. And so she rated him 5 stars. Then her coworker comes over and gives her a dirty look and is like, what are you doing? And she's
Don't
interact with this guy because he broke up with so-and-so and we're taking so-and-so's side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the situation. So it literally wasn't even that that guy did anything to them.
Right.
But they just decided that he was on the losing end of that transaction. So think about the implications of that in your life. You may not even do anything wrong to somebody.
Well, I look at my social capital. I'd be pretty low.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm bankrupt.
Yeah. Scraping the barrel.
I'm terrible on social media.
Well, I said this in the last podcast. Your followers on Twitter and Instagram, it's like what you're worth. You know?
Yeah, I'm not worth much.
I got nothing, man. Our podcast has got shit. We're nothing. This is a nothing podcast. The implications of that, like, do you see that, like, actually happening? Like, where those kind of,
no.
like, I think that was a little extreme.
It was.
Extreme, but it's...
Man, it's...
But it was real.
That is interesting, though. That was interesting.
We're getting there, though.
Okay, so, to blow your freaking mind, I went to Microsoft's corporate office... on like kind of like a field trip type thing to learn about some of their new technologies.
Yeah.
They did a big array of demos for us. One of the things they talked about is they said that Microsoft, they're capable now to record basically all your interactions on the internet and on the computer. So things you type, things you say, where you go, and they can start plotting it in ways that allow them to predict the way you would act in certain situations. And this is the chief technology officer of the Midwest division of Microsoft, so a big wig guy. And he's like, we are going to be able to store you and the type of person you are into our database and ask you questions 100 years from today.
Isn't it crazy that they say that with a smile, like it's not the most terrifying thing in the world?
And then he followed it up with like, but here at Microsoft, we think that like people at Apple, they're a little too pushy with what they know about you, what Siri knows about you, while Cortana is much more cognizant of your privacy. I'm like, bullshit! You said you literally could put me in a computer and ask me a question in 100 days.
There's an episode of
Black Mirror.
Yeah, there's one that is that.
It's that. Literally, a guy dies. Married to this lady, he dies, and she's able to talk to him post-death because of how much he
that
interacted.
That episode was so creepy.
That one, oh my gosh. And that ending.
Yeah, that was weird.
That is dark, dark shit.
Yeah.
That freaks the shit out of me.
Yeah. I'm like really into horror movies. They're one of my favorite movies, and I've been chasing like a scare. And I've just not since I've been like 10 have I been scared by a movie. Like,
if Taylor made a rape movie for you, I guarantee you'd be a little scared.
Yeah, Taylor's got like a Rob Zombie mind.
He could get you there. He'll spook you.
In fact, I remember like the tipping point for me where I was like, "Oh man, I think I'm done."
Real
was The Ring. When The Ring came out, I was like, "This is scaring a lot of my friends," and I'm just this.
How
I'm
were
fine.
You 15?
No, I was in junior high. I was maybe 12, 13.
Because I thought I was 11. When that came out.
There's not that big of a gap between us.
I guess we're only, what, a year or two?
Yeah, a couple of years.
Okay. That didn't scare you?
I may have been 13.
At that age?
No.
You're a hard boy, man.
Yeah.
You were just like...
Yeah, I was done.
You served a nom.
This, though? Black Mirror is doing it.
Oh, it does.
I've chased it. I've seen some of these episodes are terrifying.
The Shut Up and Dance one? Where the kids getting extorted.
I watched that one twice. That's the only one that I've watched twice because
I had
that
nightmares.
That was nuts.
I was so scared. And when they send that last little image in the text at the end with the face,
yeah,
I lost my shit.
I sent that to you.
I sent it to you because I saw it first, didn't I?
I sent it to you first.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, gosh.
That
was real. That shit is real, and it could happen today to anybody.
And that image, like that picture that they sent.
Oh, gosh.
That changed how I viewed Pepe, the frog. Like, I see that frog now as a sinister. Like, it's not a funny thing to me anymore. I look at that and I'm like, that is terrifying.
It's actually a hate symbol.
That is so terrifying.
It's terrifying. That whole plot was awful.
Yeah.
And it's right here at people could take it.
Yeah.
People could do that. Right.
Absolutely.
Now.
That's the problem with blackmail.
And it was so sad because to me, that kid, he was just a kid.
No.
Trying to get by.
No.
Dude, he was beating off. He was. Him on a,
okay. I'm not defending what he did.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not defending any of kinda, that.
With you defending him a little bit with that mustache is making me
oh,
super geez, uncomfortable.
Oh, jeez. It's a podcast. I can look any way I want. Call me a fat ass, Tyler. It doesn't matter.
He looks like John Wayne Gacy right now.
I'm a little John. Oh, I just listened to that.
Oh,
Richard
come on.
Ramirez.
Oh, wow.
Last
yeah,
podcast
got that.
On the left.
The live show was good.
Guy. Oh, did you go?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, oh. it was fun.
Those guys are hilarious.
They are.
But okay. I'm gonna, because you guys call me a pedophile. All right. Pump the brakes
again.
A little
this
bit.
This goes
Pumped
back to
up brakes.
This goes back to the blackface thing. Like
oh,
when you
geez.
Shaved it, that mustache, you knew what was coming
I
down the pipe.
I live in Chicago. I can wear this.
So did John Wayne Gacy.
I don't dress up like a clown. Okay,
you don't know what you do in your free time.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
All I was gonna say is that it was so sad because yeah, like it's disgusting what that kid was doing. But he was a kid and he was in a broken home. He was a loser. He was working a job. He rode his bike to work.
His sister was nicking his cokes.
Stealing his stuff.
Nicking his cokes.
That's what he said.
Nicking his cokes. He just like...
Stop nicking my cokes.
He just...
I thought his manager had the hots for him, though, in like a creepy way.
No, nah. I just... I've been that guy at work where it's like... I'm the guy...
Checking out the younger employee.
No, like no, I've been the younger employee where it's like... Like, oh, I'm the guy that just says yes to everything. So, like, I just get piled on and
now you're the shift eye candy.
I'm the shift eye candy.
You're the shift eye candy. You're the one everyone's looking at.
If you knew.
If I got to bring one guy could, today.
If you looked around the place that I work being the shift eye candy, it's not saying much.
Low bar.
It is a low bar.
Tyler's the world's tallest midget.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to defend that kid, but I felt for him was all.
Yeah, when he was the first time I watched it before the reveal.
Has your wife seen this? Just curious.
No.
Okay.
No.
My wife gets so mad at me when I make her watch these, but she's like half like interested at the same time,
yeah,
you know, like you
yeah,
can't look
yeah,
away.
Yeah. Anyway. That moment where he's just like where his world is just starting to unravel.
Oh.
Is, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. When the group, whatever, drops the bomb, though, on everybody.
Yeah.
That's powerful shit.
Yeah.
And I'm a Radiohead fan. and that ending song is haunting.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that show. We could do a whole podcast just on Black Mirror.
How much it scared us.
Oh my gosh.
I've seen almost all the episodes now since the last time we talked about the show. I still think the memory one freaks me out the most. The one we talked about at
length. Yeah, that first episode.
With the guy recorded.
Yeah, that was
that.
The thing about me, about that that was so traumatizing for me was that, like I said when we talked about it before, was like I looked at that guy and I was like, oh, that's me. Like I would be that guy overanalyzing everything.
Yeah. And this is back to the Microsoft tour. The guy's like, yeah, we now have technology where we can record people from a distance and we can read their lips.
Again,
and
like,
interpret what was said.
Like, this guy's saying this like he's doing something for the world.
Oh, absolutely.
Not being a full-on psychopath.
Absolutely. And they have technology that allows you, say, to speak in English and call someone via Skype, somebody in China, and have your talk, whatever you're saying, translated directly into Chinese in real time.
That interests me, though.
With almost...
that's kind of cool.
With almost instant, like, accuracy. Like, it's that good.
Yeah.
That blew my mind.
That's pretty awesome.
Because you think about that. At what point does all language start being filtered through that kind of a device? And
that's
then
true.
What is language?
That's true.
When that kind of shit breaks down.
Yeah.
Because this is... I thought we'd get more into, like, languages on this podcast, and I don't know if...
Well, I've got...
This is going to be a Joe Rogan podcast, dude. We're going to go 3 hours.
Isn't that what we've done every time I've done this?
We're at 2 hours and 10 minutes right now.
Well, that's the longest so far.
No, I've done three. That first one was long. It was a two-parter.
Two-parter.
It might be.
And I think it was heavily edited because Taylor was mocked a little bit for... No, it was a three-parter. There was two parts and then a bonus episode.
You.
Yeah.
Good bonus episode.
The episodes. Bigfoot was the bonus.
Yeah.
I love how you put that out for everybody to listen to us.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did.
You're strong. You got a strong ego. But essentially that language, we always think of it as like, that's the way we think. Most people are like, I think in English.
Right.
You know, like this is what's in my brain.
Yeah.
So I think it and that's what it is. It's everything that I say is what it is. But if you learn another language, you start breaking down some of those concrete thoughts you've had, and you start saying, oh, that is just one way of describing a feeling I have or a thing that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And there's so many other ways to get there that could involve me saying something with my mouth or touching it or look, you know, like it just kind of breaks down the way you view communication.
Yeah, that's one of those things that since like I don't know any other language except for like a little bit of Spanish, and the Spanish that I know is like it's that kind of thing where I have to like it gets translated in my head into English.
Yeah, you stop and go, I heard this means this in English, right?
Yeah. So for you, like where you had learned another language, like you were in it. There was
live it. Yes.
Yes. You probably dreamed in it.
Definitely. And I still do sometimes.
You think like
think in it.
In it.
I can switch the way I think. And then there's times that it's just kind of there is no language. It's just a feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre because you can say anything in any other language. And it means nothing to you.
Yeah.
I go, chupa meo pinto. What'd I say?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Suck my dick.
No.
So no. But that meant nothing to you. I could go find a Brazilian and say that to them, and he may punch me in the face.
Or.
Or.
He with gets that mustache.
Oh, come on.
You may.
We're not going there.
Okay.
So,
he might, though.
We might. Yeah.
He might.
He could. I asked. He didn't have to do anything.
He didn't.
He said yes. So like, that whole thing is like, okay, so we can't... We just listened to George Carlin's... Tay and I did. George Carlin's 7 words you can't say on TV. Have you ever heard that bit?
Yeah, a long time ago.
And so he kind of explains this whole conundrum of why we can't say words. Do you remember the... how he would say it?
I'd butcher it.
Okay, like, you look it up if you haven't heard it, because it's phenomenal, and people go...
I don't want to try to paraphrase. I wouldn't do it justice.
Yeah, because he says it so perfectly, and with a cadence that's just phenomenal. But he kind of just breaks down how words sometimes are filthy, but other times they're not. All depending on context, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
And intent.
And intent, and, you know, we have ways of working around saying what something is. I can say, but...
And he also said, why do we have more words that describe the filthy words than we actually have filthy words?
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Like the circling the issue?
Essentially, it's a raunchy word. It's a distasteful word.
Oh, gotcha.
It's a bad word.
Gotcha.
It's a sleazy word. Or...
Yeah.
His bit is phenomenal. We have so many words that mean the same thing, but some of them aren't allowed. So I can say butt, and that's acceptable. But if I say ass, which means the exact same thing as butt, it's not good. Why is language so nuanced like that? Is it just because of intent? Why? Who made up these words that we can and can't say?
I don't got an answer for you. And I think that's part of my frustration when people get mad. And I think... Because I think that there's two different things, right? So, like, I heard this, like, fucking and making love are two different things, right? And
I think I've heard this with Josh Brolin.
Yes,
and,
Josh Brolin on The Nerdist.
This is hilarious.
Said that there's making love and there's fucking. They're not the same thing.
They're different.
They're different. I mean, making love's more, like sweet and, like...
You're looking into my eyes.
Whatever.
We're making love.
We're looking into your eyes. Like, it's more intimate. But, like, fucking's just the action, you know? Like, it's different. And I think sometimes there's a proper place for both of those uses of the word, right? I mean, I think it just depends how you're talking. And so I think those nuances happen because life's nuanced.
You got to have a hot take on this. Language.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just think that it is like it's an intent thing. What are you trying to do? Mm-hmm. And which goes back to what I was saying before about, like, you know, are you using that word or are you saying, like, if you're careful about your language and you choose your words carefully, what are you trying to convey? Mm-hmm. And that should mean something, but you should also be aware enough of your surroundings and who you're talking to know that people may cringe at your word choice and what that, you know, what that means to them. Like, you can't control how someone else is going to react to what you say.
Right.
And you have to be aware of that. And that doesn't mean that that should dictate what you do. I think you should just be honest. Like I said before, like I said at the beginning, like at the end of the day, you're just answering to yourself.
Yeah.
You have to be okay with who you are at the end of the day. And so, you know, like my opinion is, like, if you're okay with it, if you think, you know, that you're a good person and you're doing your best, then, you know.
We're good.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that, like, there's very few words that, like, can, like, physically, like, bother someone, right? Or, like, make someone uncomfortable to the point. There's, like, buzzwords. I think I was listening to Joe Rogan's stand-up. He said there was three words that, like, bothers people, like that are still powerful, that are, like,
yeah,
magic words. I think one of them was saying I love you to someone. Like, in, like, a romantic relationship.
Right.
I think the other was the C word, and I can't remember the...
Wasn't the other the N word?
Yeah. Those were the three. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's true, right? Like, there's no other words that have, like, that shock value anymore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, depending on your
It all depends on the audience, right?
Yeah.
It just freaks me out, because, like you said, like, it's all about intent, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's not. Like, if I stood up in a room, a mixed room of people and races, right? And me being a white person, white male, just screamed the N-word at the top of my lungs and then sat down. I'd probably definitely get fired.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fair enough, right?
Yeah.
And in my intent, I could have no malice towards a single black person.
But what was your intent?
So let's just say I just said it.
Or
period.
Late
but why?
I just said it.
Late
why?
Onset turrets.
Let's say I just literally, my mouth created the word. It was just a physical function. I was forced to do it. I had no mental connection.
Has that ever happened?
No. But just hear me out. Hear me out. So just the fact that the sound, because it's a sound that I'm making.
Nigger
came out of my mouth in a room with some people that may be offended hearing that word.
Yeah.
I'm done. Doesn't matter what my intent was.
I'm not saying that across the board that's how everyone feels. This is my personal thing.
Okay.
I try to read into intent. That scenario that you just painted for me is that's not a thing though.
Sure. But think about it.
Unless they have Tourette's. In which case I don't even know if that's what Tourette's really is.
It can be outbursts. It can come out in the form of profanity.
Yeah.
You could see things in a room that you know are offensive. And so, like in Horace and Pete, how she kind of was. Like, yeah. She'd see people and like her Tourette's would be triggered and she'd say things about them that were offensive, but that was just like.
Is that how it actually works?
I think it can.
I think
yeah.
so, yeah. Oh. I think there's different tics.
I thought it was more of like a twitch thing and more just like noises.
The tics can manifest in different ways.
Yeah.
I know that outbursts is a common one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that some people do have a hard time finding work because outbursts just aren't appropriate yeah. in work settings.
But it's like it's like words. It's like
it can be a twitch. It manifests itself in different ways.
I thought it was more just like grunting or like making like just noises. Not
no, I think
profanity is really common with people with Tourette's.
Oh, okay.
Like across the board.
Okay.
And it's whatever culture they're in.
All right, so Tourette's aside, like let's just run this scenario back. You're in a room, a mixed room, yeah. and you just stand up and yell that word. Mm-hmm. But you're a functioning adult that knows and chooses words. Like even if there's no malice in your heart when mm-hmm. you say it, you still know what the repercussions are of standing up and yelling that word.
Mm-hmm.
So your intent is to say that word knowing what the possible outcome will be.
Right.
So for me, like that's, while it may not make you a racist, like I have no like pity for you for losing your job. Like you knew what you were doing.
Right. And that is the completely rational way of looking at it, right? That guy clearly broke the rule. And he should have known he was breaking a rule when he did that, right? If I stand up and I see somebody and I call him a racial slur and I point at him and I go, you know what, you thing, and then sit down. Clearly, I had some sort of intent, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right? I'm calling someone out.
Okay.
And you're saying that you know you can't say this. And so even if you didn't have any intent, it doesn't matter. Like you broke the rule, right?
I'm just saying.
So this is my okay. bigger point right. is that language binds us with rules, right? That we go, doesn't matter what, doesn't matter why. You said it, you made the sound, it's over. Done. That's the end of it. And it goes back to the beginning, is that we don't want to get to the heart of context, right? We don't want to. We want to go, that person knew better. I know they knew better. I don't want to deal with what that person is, right? He said the N-word in a meeting. That guy clearly has something wrong with him. He's clearly, he may be a racist, he's most likely a racist. Because what racist or non-racist would say that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so to me, it's terrifying that if you are not totally aware of the rules that people have created, that you could be destroyed by just making a sound with your mouth that may mean nothing to you. And this isn't new.
So
it's a fear I have internally.
This hasn't clicked for me.
You just don't get it at all.
I don't get what you're...
I guess it's because it's, to me, learning a second language. I learned that words mean nothing.
Right. All right. So that I get. But, like, for someone who grew up knowing a language and being aware of social...
I still get why you would get in trouble. I'm not saying I don't understand why. It just, to me, the actual...
Like, I just don't see that there being pitfalls. Like I don't feel like I'm walking on the edge where I could possibly like.
That's because you've learned the rules.
You know the rules,
right? But so
you going into new cultures.
In this scenario, are we talking like a second language thing? And someone walks up to you and they're like, "Hey, make these noises with your mouth. Just make these noises, mm-hmm. just like this, in this order, with these inflections." And then you find out after, you're like, "Oh, I didn't know that's what that meant. I didn't know what that word conveyed." Is that what you're saying?
It could be. For me, it's just that literally, you could say one thing and have no context around why you said it, and that could completely alter the way every single person views you after.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the end game. That's the end. There's no way.
This is a product of what the technology shortcuts. Has done for us, though.
Well, I think in shortcutting, like, we have learned and we've said, okay, if certain things happen a certain way, this is how I react.
Trigger right? words.
We're triggered, right? And so, like, there's these things that can happen that we go, okay, that's this and that's it. And so that, to me, goes back to the way humans are conditioned not to learn and listen and grow from each other.
But that's such a specific word with such a specific meaning that I don't know how you break that down any further.
But it's just the fact that you could just say that one thing and that your whole career could be over.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, fits the crime.
I think Ben's point is it's crazy that a word
has that much power.
A sound has that much power.
And you're saying, yeah, it does. That's it. But like for me, I don't agree with that, because someone black could say that word and nothing is wrong. And we're cool with that. We're like, yeah, that's fine. You can say it. But if someone else says it because I'm white, it's over. And I'm not trying to get the N-word. I'm just saying it could be another word. You could use another slur or whatever. You kind of seeing what I'm saying here? And sorry if it's just turning into like a black thing. I'm not trying to make it a black thing here. Because you're looking at it, I think, in a black way, and I'm not.
No, I'm not. I understand what you're saying, but I'm coming at it from the angle of like I know what social behavior is, and like I know how to act in public, and I know what to say and when to say it and who to say it around, and I know how to convey my intent, and I know like, so I just. I guess the reason why I don't understand this is because like the scenario is so foreign to me as like a possibility. Like you do have to draw the line, I think, eventually, and say like, you like at some point you have to say that you're accountable.
Sure. And again, I'm not saying you should be allowed to just say whatever you want when you say it. You're thinking about this very specific in the frame of social constructs, right? I need you to think. I want you to think more deep, like just more base level with me. Is like how much?
He's contradicted yourself. You said more deep. More
sorry,
base
I, I'm
level.
Sorry. It's late. I want you to go to the very, very like ground level with me, okay? Just the ground that you can make a sound with your mouth. You just make a sound.
That could upend your existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the point he's
making.
That's
the point I'm making.
That the word alone has that much power, regardless of context.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of blow your mind a little bit?
I mean, it's the fact that you can.
Maybe it's just something that I've just accepted as a truth so much that it doesn't blow my mind.
Like, that's what I was trying to say. That there's certain words we can say that people go, oh my gosh, I can't believe they just said that. The word itself does that. Which is kind of
to
weird
you
to me.
In your language, right?
Yes, in English.
It could mean it means nothing in Japanese or whatever, you know.
And like, all right, I think
I need you to come way down here because I'm
like, I get it. I guess maybe I'm just like, I'm separating the fact that like noises that we make with our mouth and like I'm not separating the fact that like these noises have connotation and meaning. Mm-hmm. So you're separating the meaning and the connotations, and you're just saying like a noise carries.
It can, yeah.
Ramifications the same way like an action would. Like if I call someone a bitch, and I walk up and don't say anything and I slap the shit out of
could
someone.
Could be literally the same reaction.
The end result could be the same thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. That's my point. And I don't think it's biologically humans have always been that way. You know, I think we've evolved and things have become so intricate and complex that we have these meanings that to you, you were like, I can't think of a world where that could even ever make sense, what you're saying, like why that wouldn't be that way, you know?
Yeah.
That's my point. It's like it's so ingrained into us to react a certain way when literally nothing changed.
Well, I mean, that's language. Words
symbols,
have
right?
Words have meaning.
Right.
And for whatever reason, we ascribe, you know, the sound shit, that thing that I did with my mouth means something. Mm-hmm. And we just said that that's it. That's like just naming things. That's table, you know, the microphone. Right. That's what it means. That's what we decided on. And it's just kind of an accepted thing. So mm-hmm. I just, yeah, I don't know. That doesn't mess with my head so much. It is kind of crazy though, that like you said, like I could say a word, I could, which has no, like it just disappears the second it leaves my mouth, and
might as well stabbed a baby.
The vibrations end, yeah. Like
5
it ends.
Good reputation just down the drain.
Yeah, your reputation could be over.
Yeah. With no actual physical like ramifications happening, you know. It's not like anything got tipped over or anything.
And it could just be perception, the way people think they heard it. Yeah. You know, I mean, how many people have been destroyed on the internet for being caught at the exact wrong moment? You know?
See, but that's where it falls back into, like if once we hop back in to, like, real-world applications, that's where I start to have no sympathy for these people because they know what they're doing. And I think a lot of them do it with that intent. Like, that's part of their shtick. That's part of their thing. So, like, to go back to the examples that I used before, like part of Milo's thing is that he's a victim. Mm-hmm. He loves playing the victim. Everyone loves playing the victim. Right. So every time that he talks about like being protested and how that's not fair and all that kind of stuff, I just sit there and I go, this is your bread and butter, man.
You
love this.
Yeah.
If you weren't being protested, you would be miserable. This is why you say inflammatory, stupid shit, because it gets you attention, and it gives you a reason to say what you're saying right now. So I'm not gonna weep for your, you know, for these protests and the fact that you feel like you're not allowed to just say whatever without any repercussion. Mm-hmm. Like I don't care, because I think you know exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think you know exactly what you're doing. It's like, who was I listening to? Oh, it was the Cracked podcast. They were talking about PETA and how PETA has these ads where they have these like beautiful naked women, you know, talking about how like they don't wear fur or whatever.
Right.
Like I'm not going to wear animal. Like I'll wear my skin before whatever their thing is. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I'm going to wear my skin. I'm not going to wear an animal's skin. And the people that were talking about it, were talking about how like that is an intentional slap in the face of like conservative Christian type people, religious people, because it's taking something that like they eat meat, they wear leather, they do these kind of things. and they're also like conservative, you know, they're,
yeah.
And it's intentionally being inflammatory to them and saying like, you know, not only are we knocking the way that you live your life, but we're also sexualizing it. So we're like doubling down on like kicking you in the balls, right. So to speak. So it's like, what is your intent with this ad? Is your intent to convey a message to everyone, or is your intent to bolster up your base and by going after the supposed enemy, you know? I just don't have empathy for people that have the intent of like ostracizing a group of people rather than getting their point across. Mm-hmm. So when I view PETA or I view Milo, I view two groups of people on different ends of the spectrum whose main goal is to infuriate the opposition and bolster up their side. So their point of view is it loses credibility for me personally. I look at them and I go like, well, I don't really care what you think now, because like you're not trying to enact change. You're just trying to drum up support from people who already support you and to put down people who don't.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean anything to me. So yeah. That's where intent comes in for me. So if you choose a word, knowing what that word means, and you say it, even if in your heart you don't mean to be negative, but you know how it's going to be perceived, then that's fine. I think you should be able to do that. But don't act shocked if people are pissed off.
Right.
Don't act shocked if it comes back home to you.
Oh, yeah. And I'm always one to say that you got to understand your audience with whoever you're talking to. And this is not just talking about something inflammatory, but just...
just own it.
People respond to certain things in a certain way. And that's like where being tactful is so important.
And if you're not tactful, that's fine. If you want to be hawkish about it, that's fine. But just make sure that you're not being disingenuous to who you are.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're being genuine and saying like, look, this is what I'm doing. This is my thing. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm coming at you with both barrels.
Right.
Don't play the victim. Don't act like you're put upon when that was your intent the whole time, was to be put upon.
Right. Yeah. Don't be a victim. And I look at language, especially like curse words. I think it's just a thing, you know, when someone's just saying it to be like vulgar or be offensive.
Those people are hilarious. I had friends growing up that like they'd swear and you'd hear them swear and you'd be like, that you're trying so hard.
You're trying really hard to make a message, right?
Yeah.
And if you say the F word, a lot of moms out there just like, doesn't matter what the context is. That's a cringe word, right? But in other contexts, like to some people, you say the F word and it's the freaking funniest thing you could have said in that moment.
And then to a whole bunch of other people, I work with people that use that word as a filler word.
It's just something, right?
It's just a bridge to get from one word to the other.
Right. Right. And to me, that just kind of shows, you know, the nuances of what these words mean and the way we string these words together to make sentences and how it's just so deep and how everyone is coming at it from their own perspective, back to looking at the picture. You know, the naked lady. No, excuse me, the Derek Jeter picture.
It's a globe, remember?
Oh, it's a globe.
Like it's a globe.
Everyone is at it from their own lens, got their own ears, they're trying to figure out and interpret everything you've said, and everyone has different feelings and emotions associated with it. So it's unfortunate when you say something, like my question gets construed as something that I wasn't intending.
Right.
But it happens.
Right.
So I would say moral of the podcast is don't be a fucking asshole and listen to your neighbor.
Yeah.
Listen to your friends.
Just try to step back.
Take a step back.
Try to figure out a way to take a step back. Have experiences. Talk to people that will help you to step back and see the picture. because you may be standing in front of like a just a blue square on this thing, and you may be saying, no, this is blue, this is blue. And then the guy over there is seeing like a whole bunch of different colors, you know, because he's got a different point of view. So just step back and try to see what other people are seeing through their lens, with Agreed. Their lighting, their perspective.
It's great. So you'll be a Buddhist one day. You're on the right track.
I might be. I don't know.
Zen out is...
I feel like I'm getting right to the point where... what's the term? What's the term when you're done?
Nirvana?
Is that Hindu?
It? It might be Hindu.
That's the ultimate.
Nirvana is the state of Nirvana is the top, it. Right? Yeah.
The top, whatever the top layer is, after I'm done living all my lives, and I'm done. I feel like I'm there.
Nirvana.
You're Nirvana.
Yeah, maybe like one or two.
Rings below?
Because once you hit Nirvana, yeah. You don't reincarnate anymore.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just a couple.
Ooh, how many more runs you got in away. You?
I think I'm going to do the next one as a lesbian.
More fun.
I feel like that's my next thing.
That's a big step for you.
As a lesbian.
Good for you, man. It'll be a big change. Well, Tay, keep your language clean. Keep it pure.
I'll try.
Communicate in great detail. I don't know what I'm saying, dude. It's so freaking late.
Yeah, I know. It is late.
I got nothing. Hopefully this was enjoyable for people. By what are we, hour three now?
We're almost to hour three. We're close.
Yeah.
Wow.
By the time this gets cut up.
I don't know if we'll do this a two-parter. Maybe we just do the whole thing.
Just plop it on their plates?
Yeah.
But I mean like...
It's a big dish.
There's going to be a little bit of editing, right?
A little bit.
Like this thing I'm talking about right now. You don't want to put me talking about editing
in
the
podcast. No, people like this.
Yeah, this is like more... authentic.
This is more natural than what we've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, because people.
This is how I talk.
Yeah, I thought the whole thing was pretty.
It's pretty natural.
Yeah, I thought it was fine, but thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me again.
Glad to have you.
It's always a good time. And you know what? I love face to face so much that I almost like insist on doing it when everyone's in town and we can all sit in a room together and do this.
It's good
because the last time. I had to share headphones with Taylor.
Awkward.
And it was very uncomfortable. We had to sit close.
Well, you got a golden ticket to not have to do that again.
Well, maybe we could do one outside once the weather gets a little better. That could get real. Looking up at the stars, around a campfire, just talking.
You really want to go camping together, Taylor?
Nah, I don't want to set up all this shit outside either. It'd be a pain in the ass. I'll keep it in the studio.
There's also a lot of possibilities to get attacked in your sleep out in the open like that.
It's true. That's true.
Those tent doors.
I don't sleep in hammocks for that reason.
I love a hammock.
Hammocks are great.
I zip tie my tent closed every night to keep out intruders.
You have to zip tie it from the outside, don't you? No.
You can do it from the inside.
From the inside.
But come on, dude. A little knife action, you're done. Slip right in.
Keeps the
hammocks are great, though. Hammocks are good for napping. I don't think they're so great for sleeping a lot. Are you a hammock guy all the time?
I went on a hike through the Grand Canyon. Mm. And because of the time of year that it was, I thought it would be better to not be in a tent. And I took a hammock with me. And it was amazing.
Oh, best
Slept
decision.
Slept in a hammock. My back felt great. There's something about it. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I was a giant baby just being cradled. Yeah, it was awesome. It was one of those. It was like a Brazilian hammock, I think.
Yeah, those
are
comfortable shit, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great. I always felt the curve is kind of hard on my back. I felt like it had like a gentle curve, you know?
I don't know that I could have done it, you know, over like a really long time. It was just a few days. So,
okay.
But it was great.
Oh, that gentle sway. Like a baby,
and the breeze.
Dude. And the breeze.
The
nothing
breeze.
Better. You get a nice hammock underneath a tree.
Yep.
On a nice warm day.
Come yep.
on, man. Doesn't get much better. Maybe we could do a podcast from a hammock. That would be.
Oh, you see, now that's what I need. We could do a hammock in here.
We really could. I mean, we got the support beams here. Cut, screw in a couple hooks. Dude, it'll be quick.
Could we get three hammocks?
We literally could.
I think we could do it.
Oh, definitely.
And maybe we could like, yeah. Oh, come on, man. I'll bring my own hammock.
I got one upstairs.
All right. Let's do it.
Next time we'll do it from a hammock.
Get
a
set up.
I like it.
Thanks. What are we have a Is this a 3 a year podcast?
3 year?
3 a year?
3 a year? 3 per year podcast?
I don't know.
3. We do one in.
If we have to do it in person, it's gonna be
about that.
Yeah. What if we did 4 a year?
4 a year quarterly?
Yeah, let's do one every season. Let's just see where we're at every season.
So what does this one count as? Is this the spring or the winter?
This will be our springtime podcast.
Because we had one December, right?
Yep.
We had one in October. That was the first one.
That'll be our fall. Fall, winter, spring is what we have.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we did the summer one. The summer one was in August.
Oh, shoot. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
the politics one will count as the fall one.
Yeah, we'll count that as the fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, we're good. Man, look at us. This is the real deal.
One every season.
Change with the season. Hopefully I come back with a little more faith in humanity. Hopefully Taylor gets off his high horse and his karma patrol. And Tyler, you just stay right in the middle.
Just keep going.
You keep looking at that picture, man. Send it to us when you get the big picture. All right, guys. It's been real. We're out.